You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning and welcome back to the second hour of Civic Media Mornings on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Dr. Kristen Lyerly here with Greg Bach. We are Bach and the Doc filling in for Pat Crenlow. Pat's going to be back on Monday. Also joining us is Officer Craig. This is going to be another fun hour for you all. So thanks for joining us. Later this hour, we're going to be visiting with former Dane County Sheriff Dave Mahoney to get his take on the January 6th pardons, the Wisconsin Supreme Court race, and changes he is working to see in law enforcement. And of course, you are welcome to join the conversation too. We always love to chat with you. So you can call 855-75-CIVIC, which is 855-752-4842. You can text in on the Civic Media app, and you can comment on the live stream on YouTube.
And don't forget, if you comment on the live stream, keep it clean, keep it nice, or I will ban you and throw you out for good.
And if you haven't seen Greg, he'll mess you up. And we've got a cop. All right, friends, it is 7:07 on Super Bowl Monday. If you missed our first hour, which was wonderful, Dr. Chris Ford joined us. If you want to listen to past episodes, if you want to listen to any past episodes of this or any Civic Media show, civicmedia.us, you can find nearly anything there. All the entertainment
is right there. Absolutely. You can find all the shows. You can find whether the daily shows, weekly shows, all the podcasts. You can go there and you can catch up with anything. You can download episodes. And, you know, like we say, if you whether you do it through the website or you do it through the app, you can take us wherever you go and listen to us whenever you want. That is civicmedia.us or download the podcast. It is absolutely free.
No, I'm sorry, you did
it. I'm dying inside.
Hey, fellas, guess who's not joining us this morning besides Pat?
Who?
Brittany Merlot, our weather maven. She's taking the day off. Because you know it's Super Bowl Monday, which there was an article in USA Today the other day that predicted that a record number of people will suddenly be sick today. They polled over 1,200 adults, and the results indicated that 40% more people will call in sick to work today than last year. And last year was a record. So here's the question, something to think about while I run through temperatures, but here's what I want you to think about. Should this be a holiday? Okay. You're thinking. Think about it. We'll talk about it in a minute.
Dr. Lyerly, if voting isn't a national holiday in this country, Super Bowl Super Monday, whatever you want to call it, no. You know, you don't get the day off.
Well, I'm in Green Bay and things are different up here.
What does that mean?
The Packers. Hello.
You didn't play last night. What do you care?
It is the beginning now of the 2025 season. It starts today, pal.
Okay. Draft day is coming up soon.
Oh, God. Everything is about the draft.
Oh, that's right. Draft happens in Green Bay this year. Ooh. And did you all see the news about the Jets?
There's not going to be a
thing. They're boarding that plane, and the Jets are taking off without Mr. Aaron Rodgers.
Poor guy.
He's not a part of that team anymore. I wonder why.
Is that official?
I saw a story that said, according to the Jets organization, they're moving on without him. That's what the... Wow. You know.
That was on the app?
Mm-hmm. Yep. And it, when it, yeah, so it's, I mean, I don't, I just felt bad for the Jets fans. I can imagine you get a player like Aaron Rodgers, who at the time they thought, oh my gosh, we're getting Aaron Rodgers. And it's two seasons of just... Or yeah. As I did, two seasons of...
I mean, he talked a good game. But yeah, I don't know.
I mean,
okay, wait. I don't want to talk about Aaron Rodgers now.
That's fine.
I want to lift up the Packers.
But
wait, I want to talk about temperatures.
Let's do it.
Because it's cold. It's cold.
Yeah.
So here's how cold it is. Wausau, still 5. Still 5.
Yeah.
Eau Claire, 2. La Crosse, 5. Milwaukee, 14. Wisconsin Rapids, 3. Amory, -2. Hayward, -3. Chilly. Chilly morning. But it's going to get better.
Yeah.
Because it's the middle of February.
Yeah.
And it's already getting lighter outside.
The days are getting longer down here in Radio Park in Racine. It's 17 degrees. So it's tropical.
It's tropical.
We have some weather from Robin Tigerton. He says, good morning from Tigerton. It's clear and 8 degrees. We had 9.5 inches of snow on Saturday. We got bupkis. Nothing down here. There was like there was like a sprinkling in Milwaukee. And that was done by 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock at the latest. And there was nothing down where I live in Kenosha, period. He says we had more snow in the first 10 days of February than December and January combined. Says I was busy plowing snow Saturday and early Sunday morning. My grandnephew Milo was baptized and I fell asleep during Super Bowl. I was very, very tired. He also says, gives us a little bit of a little history here with the football. He said the Eagles are the only team to waive the defeated Vince Lombardi Packers in the post play in 1960 NFL Championship. 17-13 Eagles, the Super Bowl reminds me of that.
Yeah,
you know, yesterday's game. I mean, when I turned it on, I'm like, usually you don't see. When I turned it on, it was 24-0. I was like, I don't know. I know that the Chiefs have come back from that sort of deficit, but you can't count on it every single time. But thank you, Rob from Tigerton, getting a hold of us. As always, we love hearing from you. And my goodness, 8.5 inches of snow and nothing down here.
Rob deserved a good nap because he is that guy who is out there plowing the streets long before you are awake.
Yep.
So he's that guy, like so many of our folks here who take care of our streets and make it safe for us. So thank you to Rob and thank you to our road crews.
Yeah.
Unsung heroes, but in the winter, man, so grateful to you all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love it.
All right. So a little bit more quick sports. Bucks played the 76ers yesterday and won.
Nice.
And they play again tonight. The Golden State Warriors, Greg.
Good job, Dr. Lyerly.
They play in Milwaukee tonight. So that's all good stuff. But let's go back to Super Bowl Monday.
Yeah.
And the prospect of a national holiday. And to be clear, I am not advocating for this.
It sounds like you are.
I'm not. But I want you to know that some people are really serious about this. Legislation has been introduced in states, including Maryland and Indiana. And there's been a petition on change.org since 2017. And even some of the Super Bowl sponsors got in on the gig. So like the Sloths commercial for Coors Light. Yeah, they rebranded the box, Monday Light. Denny's and Starbucks are both giving away free coffee today. I think Chipotle may be giving away free something or another. There are estimated billions of dollars that are lost in productivity costs. So that's the argument.
Okay, this is where I get old man Greg, okay? And I'm channeling my father.
This is where you get old man Greg? Okay.
Boo. This is where I'm going to get some old man Greg on you. Suck it up, drink less, or be better at drinking. I don't know. My point is, like, you know you're going to a party. Like, you don't just accidentally get drunk on Super Bowl Sunday or eat too much. You know what you're doing. So drink some water, eat a little less. Maybe I don't know. I think pushing the idea that there's what you said, millions of hours in productivity lost on
billions of dollars.
Billions of I would like to see how many billions of dollars of productivity is lost on any Monday versus Super any Bowl Monday. Sunday. Just because, I mean, that seems like a very high number for one day. Mm-hmm. And maybe if I saw those numbers, I might start inching towards it. But I just think, I personally feel like, let's get voting a national holiday first, and then we can look at Super Bowl Monday.
Hey, I love that idea of voting being a national holiday. And I am not advocating for, as I said, Super Bowl Monday. I really am not. But
what about a floating vacation? Like if it's your team, if your team's playing, you get that Monday off. Everybody else suck it up and go back to work.
Listen to this creative thinking.
There you go. Solutions. Wow, huh? Solutions from Craig.
There's another solution floating around out there. Roger Goodell has proposed that the Super Bowl be played on President's Weekend. So it would be a week later. And in order to do that, they would drop another preseason game and add a regular season game. Talk amongst yourselves.
Well, that's fine and dandy, but not everybody gets off on President's Day either. They would have to make that a full national holiday where everybody gets off, and because not
it's a federal holiday.
It's a federal holiday, but not everybody gets that day off either. So it somewhat takes care of the problem. But I like the thinking from Mr. Goodell. Any thinking coming from higher management of the NFL is always good.
Craig, I know you have an opinion about this.
It's tough. You know, these guys, it's not like they're out there golfing. I mean, it's hard on the body, and the game time is you're putting in 60 minutes of beating up your body and stuff. And that preseason is the time for guys to shine that will get no other opportunities to shine. They got to prove themselves, try to make that team. And I think to get rid of that would be detrimental to the sport.
Why not just pull the whole thing back 1 week? Don't get rid of a preseason game. Just make it 1 week earlier. I don't know how that affects anything, but it just does it one more week. I mean, that's... Don't get rid of anything. Just start a week early.
Didn't they already drop a preseason game and add a regular season game? Last season.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I agree with Craig. If they went from... Because originally it was four, so now it's three. They make it two? I don't think that's a good idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't either. But it's a great thing to talk about. Mm-hmm. And I'm loving this. And when we come back from this little break, we're going to talk about another controversial Super Bowl topic, the halftime show. Ooh. I want to know, what was your take? So again, you can call us 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842, text on the Civic Media app, comment on the live stream, however you want to reach us, because we like to chat and we want to know what you thought about the halftime show. We have
especially the worst halftime show. Anybody have any ideas on that?
I'm sure there's opinions.
This is Civic Media Mornings with Dr. Kristen Lyerly on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Mustard on the beat, Debo, any rap. He a free throw, man down. Call a Amber Lambs, tell him free, bro. Nella new to the cross, he walk around like T-Zone.
Welcome back to Civic Media Mornings. This is Dr. Kristen Lyerly with Greg Bach. Officer Craig Carlson joining us this morning. How about that halftime show, guys? What'd you think?
I was a fan. It was good. Surprisingly good.
I was surprised how many songs he played.
Yeah.
Like, it was... I didn't know what was going to happen. I didn't know what he was going to do. I didn't know how many guests would be like on stage with him. Like, I knew that there was a lot of dancers, but I didn't know if it was going to be like, you know, some years it's like, oh my gosh, it's every single person who ever played a guitar in 1970 is on stage. And
right.
But it was, it was him and SZA because they did a song together on his new record.
They're touring together.
Yeah. And I was just like, this is really good. And the way he created a theme and a narrative, it was just, I loved it. I loved it.
And Samuel L. Jackson.
Yes, that's true. Samuel L. Jackson. And was that the young woman dancing all of a sudden towards the end? That was not that wasn't Serena or Venus. Was that
Serena? Yeah, it was Serena Williams. Yeah.
You know why?
Why?
No.
So the whole thing about this song is that it's a diss track.
Yeah.
With against Drake. So he and Drake are having like this argument.
It's called beef.
They're having a beef.
The argument.
Let me put it in 50-year-old white woman terms. They are having an argument.
They're not getting along, those two young men.
And it's like, it's gotten pretty heated, obviously. Yeah. And, you know, like people do believe that Kendrick has won this beef. I mean, he got 5 Grammys for this, you know, beef track, this track. But Serena used to date Drake. So that's why they brought her on. And she was apparently, and I don't know if this is true, but she was doing a dance, the Crip Walk.
Yeah.
Like, you know, this is the end of you. I mean, there was a lot of symbolism in that halftime show.
Well, and that was, so like, I wasn't sure if it was her. Because, okay, so she has lost a lot of weight, apparently. I didn't know this. Because the last time I saw her, like, was she's playing tennis and she was a buff individual, like just buff from top to bottom. And when I kept on looking at him, I'm like, that looks like Serena Williams, but she looks really, really thin. Is that Venus? I'm like, why would it be Venus Williams? And that took me out of it for a moment because I'm like, I have no idea. Then I got back into it and I loved it. Because first of all, I just love Kendrick, period. I think he's one of the most talented MCs. He's a Pulitzer Prize winning poet. He is so good. And the fact that he can do what he does and the Super Bowl, the NFL, we're like, come do that here. It'd be easy for the NFL to be like, ooh, that's too controversial. But they brought him to their home and said, go for it. And he did. And he knocked it out of the park.
I'm glad you mentioned that's controversial because I was looking through Facebook comments afterwards and there were a lot of comments on some of the local media stations up here about how this did not appeal to a wide swath of the population. Bring back this, bring back that.
Let me rephrase that thing. It did not appeal to a white audience. There were a lot of probably older white folks who were probably like, I don't know what this is. And that's fine because every year is different. Like they don't do the same thing every year. Some years it's geared towards younger people with people who are like big hits in today's market. Some years it's Aerosmith, who nothing against Aerosmith, but Aerosmith isn't like of the times right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Pastor Prime.
Yeah, I mean, it's. You know, I that's one of the things I do like about the Super Bowl halftime show is that it's not the same cookie cutter thing every single year. They try to find something new, or then they go back and they bring Bruce Springsteen on, who's going to charge the audience up in his own way.
I'm so glad you mentioned Bruce Springsteen because, you know, both the New York Times and Sports Illustrated have rated the best Super Bowl halftimes. And Springsteen and the E Street Band in 2009, that's their number 10.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Guess what the worst Super Bowl halftime in history is?
Which one? Okay, Craig?
I'll let Kristen say it because I'm rehearsing
a little bit. It's Winter Magic from 1992 in Minneapolis. It was the Gloria Estefan, and it was the one that I was in, and I am really proud of having performed in the worst Super Bowl halftime.
Whoa, once again, okay. Once again, another chapter in the of the Kristen Lyerly book.
Winter Magic.
I didn't know
it
you
was
were
really
in a,
bad.
I didn't know you were in a halftime show.
Oh, yeah. Yep, I played the cymbals in the marching band, and we were instructed. So all of the live music, they can't actually play because the sound is so off.
Yeah, of course.
So you have to fake it. So I had to fake playing my cymbals. Yeah. That was fun. We also had Frosty the Snowman, who were doing like 90s rap. Like, go Frosty, go. We had Dorothy Hamill and Brian Boitano skating on big snowflakes made of plexiglass. It was a thing.
You know what? All those people who are commenting on social media, they're like, you know what they need to bring back? Winter Magic.
You can see it. It is known as the worst Super Bowl halftime. It was a Super Bowl halftime where in Living Color actually ran counter programming and more people tuned into that.
That's right. Oh my good gravy. Yes, that's how I remember it. Yep. Because I watched In Living Color.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks.
I didn't know you.
Guess what the consensus was with the New York Times and Sports Illustrated as the best Super Bowl halftime ever?
Before I saw the notes, I already knew this, but I'll let you say it. Go ahead.
It was Prince.
Oh, yeah. Miami. I mean, playing Purple Rain in the rain? Uh-huh. Are you kidding me?
Apparently they went to him beforehand and said, you know, it's raining, you've got these dancers, like, are you able to perform? And he looked them square in the eye, as only Prince could do, and said, can you make it rain harder?
I just imagine some grizzled sound tech going, no, okay. Just being completely unimpressed with Prince.
Other Super Bowl halftimes that were memorable? U2 in 2002.
They're always great.
That's another one. Oh, yeah. And apparently it was a real short one, but yeah. It was like right after 9/11.
He wore the jacket with the flag lining, and they ran the names. Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that was it. It was incredibly moving. Right. Yeah, fun to go back and watch some of those. Yeah, but we got to take a little break.
Janet Jackson, probably. I would say Justin top 10.
Timberlake is nine.
New York Times. Okay. Nine. All right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but we have to take a little break here. But that's okay because we're going to be back real soon, and we're going to talk with former Dane County Sheriff Dave Mahoney, who's going to give us his take on the January 6th pardons, the Wisconsin Supreme Court race, and changes that. Civic Media Mornings on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Dr. Kristen Lyerly, here with Greg Buck on the board. Officer Craig is here with us. It's 7:35 on Super Bowl Monday morning. Just a quick reminder, we are in election season. We've got a statewide primary coming up. Actually, it is early voting right now, and we all have candidates for state superintendent of schools on our ballots. Actual election day is next Tuesday, and you can get your personalized info at myvote.wi.gov. You can register, you can request your mail-in ballot, and get lots of other info here. Of course, this is the primary. The spring general is on April 1st, April Fool's Day, no fooling. And we have an incredibly important Supreme Court race. When you think about the highest court in the state, you think about law and order. And when I think about law and order, I think about Sheriff Dave Mahoney. And Sheriff Mahoney is having a little bit of a hard time trying to connect with us right now. But luckily, we've got Officer Craig Carlson here with us, so we can chat a little bit. Yay! Lucky you!
Pressure's on. All right.
So we can chat a little bit about what's going on with law enforcement, especially since, you know, with George Floyd's murder, there has been a huge focus on changing law enforcement to better reflect from less of a rules-based focus to more of a values-based focus and building trust and legitimacy between law enforcement and the communities that they serve. And that's what you do, Craig, every day as a community police officer. Your goal is to get to know people in your community so that you can kind of head things off at the pass. So here's my question for you. It's a big one. It's a deep one. You ready?
I am ready.
In this environment where we're now starting to see backpedaling away from what many considered positive change, what does law and order even mean right now?
Well, that's a tough question. Apparently, law and order does not mean you can beat on cops and take over a building and be held accountable. Now all of a sudden, people like that can be walking around free without any supervision or anything, you know, holding them accountable for their terrible behavior. I think one of the most important things that this brings out is how we have to have 100% transparency in policing and how we do things, not only for what we do and why we do it, but I think there's got to be more of the why things happen, so people can understand the reasoning why things are done. If they don't know, they just see, you know, this happens and we do this without the explanation, I think that can foster a lot of problems between the public and the police.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sure can. And, you know, with the J6 pardons, I find it really confusing that on one hand, Donald Trump talks about backing the blue, but then literally acts by backing the coup and pardoning these J6 rioters and not differentiating between people who really committed violent acts. I mean, police officers literally died, and these people are now back out on the street. Is there any way to make sense of that?
I haven't figured out a way to make sense of that. I don't get it. And you can hear, you know, in the hearings where Trump is appointing these different people and the senator, they're asking, you know, their thoughts on this, and very sheepishly, they're like, well, I would have probably handled that a little bit different, but, you know, there is no but. Let's focus on that. Why he did what he did. Yeah, but nobody's talking about that. It's just, oh, he did that. Okay. And, you know, personally, I can't let that go. That's huge for me. That was a slap in the face to all of us. And for to see my fellow officers be like, you know, that's just one thing. He's going to make America great or other thing. No, that you cannot let that go. I can't let that go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's personal. It actually becomes personal. It is. Yeah,
it is. Hey, you can't let that behavior, you know, go without some type of punishment.
And we've seen that already some of these J6 rioters who have been pardoned have gotten into squabbles and legal trouble. I mean, one was actually shot, killed in a traffic incident, in addition to some of these other, you know, things that have happened across the country. And I think we can probably anticipate more of this to come. It has to make you feel, as a law enforcement official, kind of insecure about the job that you do. Having emboldened people who clearly broke the law, clearly murdered police officers, and now here they are back out on the streets with this like gift and this protection.
Yeah, it kind of emboldens them to say that behavior was okay, that, you know, they're above the law, and honestly, nobody is above the law. You should never have that attitude. So, where do you go from here? I don't know. It's very troubling.
Well, I mean, let's focus a little bit more on what's happening here in Wisconsin. You know, the J6 rioter pardons have implications for our Supreme Court race coming up in April. In an interview with the right-wing talking head, Vicky McKenna, candidate Brad Schimmel complained that the J6 defendants didn't get a fair shot in court. And he repeated the lie that we heard from Donald Trump, that Democrats abuse the court for political gain. Again, politicizing this legal issue. It's really hard to believe that a judge and a former attorney general would claim so loudly and openly that jury trials don't work, and that the justice system is too politicized to be trusted. The justice system is too politicized to be trusted. Your thoughts?
Well, I mean, I think there are issues with how the justice system handles things, and, you know, whether or not jury trials are fair and, you know, get the right outcomes or something like that. I think he needs to... He could do a better job at explaining that, what he means by that, and also to just basically say he won't admit that it was wrong, obviously.
And he's making we've seen from a lot of people on the right, a failure to admit that it was wrong. So, you know, some are, like you said, some are kind of hedging their bets, but some are just kind of sticking with the party line, which makes it increasingly divisive and political.
Yeah. It's time to step away from the political end of that, and let's talk about right and wrong, mm-hmm. not because of any particular reason, but because it is right or it is wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and importantly, I think it's important to highlight that former U.S. Capitol Police officer and January 6th hero Harry Dunn is going to be in Wisconsin this week. He'll be in La Crosse tomorrow at 10 a.m. at the La Crosse International Association of Machinists at 817 Rose Street, again in La Crosse. And he'll be in Green Bay on Wednesday. And actually, Craig and I are going to be there as well. We'll be at the Labor Temple, 1570 Elizabeth Street in Green Bay. Both of these events are open to the public. We'll be sharing information in the show notes here, and you can also find information on my social media pages, Dr. Kristen Lyerley on Facebook, Instagram, Threads, Twitter, Blue Sky. So we'd love to see you. And if you haven't met Harry Dunn, he is a giant man with a giant heart who is throwing his heart and soul into helping people understand. I mean, he defended the Capitol on January 6th. And what he has experienced since that time, having testified in the January 6th hearings and now with these pardons, talk about a slap in the face.
It truly is, you know, to get that firsthand. You could have all these people talking about what happened there or stuff, but to get somebody that was actually there that had gone through that, him and Danny as well, that, you know, they were injured, and to get their firsthand experience, it really means a lot more.
Yeah. And you mentioned Danny Hodges. He's another January 6th police officer, still working, actually, still serving as a police officer, but he gave an emotional press conference when the pardons happened and talked about how one of the rioters reached under his helmet and tried to gouge his eye out with his thumb.
Right.
Oh, he was stuck being smashed in a door. And, you know, yet he continues to serve, and he's really trying to make a difference, as is Harry. Really just incredible. Talk about heroes. That's what these two fellas are.
Right.
The last time Harry was in Green Bay, we got to meet him, and you talked about how leaders used to work across the aisle to ensure public safety. And we've really seen that dissipate, like so many things. There's so much less nonpartisanship or bipartisanship because we're so polarized right now. How do we counter that narrative and get back to public safety instead of which side are you on?
I think a lot of it comes down to funding. You know, they can talk about backing the police, but if you're not putting the money in to give us more opportunities, more education, that's where one of the biggest problems is. So we need that money to make ourselves better. So everybody's learning. You know, I think you can never say this is how it is and not want to change. Obviously with George Floyd, a lot of things had to change. Just because it was within policy doesn't mean that it's necessarily right. And sometimes you don't see that. You don't want to look at that. It's hard to keep your eyes open and always think, well, you know, maybe we didn't do this correctly. It's okay to say that things need to change, that we could do things better.
And you've seen a lot of change. I mean, you've been a police officer for over 25 years. You've been in law enforcement. You were that guy in school. I'm going to tell a little private story about you. You were that guy when you were a kid who Officer Friendly came to your school and you said, I want to do that. And that has been your mission. It is in your heart. So you truly do believe in taking care of communities, not necessarily in punishing people, but in helping people be better. And, you know, a big part of that is law enforcement often deals with mental health issues. We talked a little bit with Chris Ford about this in the last hour. And Dave Mahoney, who has been struggling to get in touch with us, unfortunately couldn't join us, but hopefully we'll be able to book him later. But I know you can talk about this at length. Mental health issues. How do we address mental health issues in a more efficient and appropriate way, so that you're not having to deal with them at the very end of the spectrum in a place where suddenly now it's a crisis and there aren't a lot of options?
Right. I think, you know, we're starting to do that. We have behavioral health officers that focus on the mental health issues or something that, you know, just because somebody is suffering from a mental health issue or a breakdown of some sorts doesn't necessarily make that a crime. And to get us out of that is probably more valuable to use our times doing something else. So if we have other community leaders or community organizations that can step in and help that, and we're starting that in the Green Bay area. It's kind of like a little checklist. Like, you know, if you have this is a homeless person sleeping in my doorway of my business, do we need to call the police? No, you can call somebody else. You can call some other type of service. Well, same thing with mental health. You know, a lot of times police are triggers for mental health. You know, there's some stigma or some past behavior or incident that happened that people aren't really wanting to talk to the police. So to bring us in there automatically, you know, puts up that wall. And if we can avoid that, that would definitely would help us a lot.
Hey, it sounds like you've seen a lot of changes over your long career. And I'm so glad to hear you talk about training and education and some of these other resources that are coming in to help people instead of punishing people. I feel like we're headed in the right direction. Do you?
Yeah, you have to, absolutely. You have to deal with people differently when they're in you're a criminal, I'm going to go arrest you. Well, arrest isn't always the best thing. It's let's talk, let's try to get through this and help you get to where you need to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you so much, Craig, for sharing your thoughts and insights. I really appreciate you. I appreciate the work that you do. And I know our community up here does as well.
Well, thank you for having me.
Of course. Stick with us because when we come back, one of my faves, Greg's faves too, is going to join us shortly, Jane Matinair. And she's going to give us a little preview of what's happening later this morning on Matinair on Air, right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Hey, Mr. Policeman.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Civic Media Mornings on the Civic Media Radio Network. What a morning. And now, Sweet Jane. Hey, girl.
Good morning, Kristen Lyerly. How are you, my friend?
I'm good. I'm a little tired, though. Did you watch the Super Bowl yesterday?
I did not. Never turned it on. Was not curious, even remotely. I did watch the Puppy Bowl.
Oh, I didn't. How did that go?
That's the premier sporting event of the year.
What do they do?
There are 143 puppies involved, and they come on the field, and they are puppies. And it lasts for 3 hours. And I couldn't be happier because Team Fluff came back at the end to defeat Team Ruff. And all is good in my world because Ruff won last year. So
she also had $100 on Ruff. So and they covered the spread, so we're all good.
Exactly, my life is good. My life is good.
For those of us who haven't watched the Puppy Bowl, what kind of an interaction is that?
It is the silliest possible thing you could do on a Sunday afternoon. It's a little football field, and they have like five puppies from each side, and whoever picks up a toy and happens to wander over the goal line gets a touchdown. Or if they accidentally kick something into the end zone, they get a field goal. And there are penalties, like, you know, unnecessary roughness. They have a little water
unnecessary
dish.
Roughness,
exactly. They have a little dish. They have a little dish embedded in the floor, and the puppies will, you know, the one puppy yesterday sat in the bowl. That was a violation. You can't unnecessary bathing or something. The
Puppy Bowl is always controversial, friends. It's always controversial.
It's always, yes, bringing the controversy. No, it's just a delightful. And then they talk about the shelters that they came from, and it's just a big pro-adoption, pet adoption event. It's fabulous.
That's dear.
Yeah.
You know, like the Super Bowl is so manufactured, and it's just this big spectacle. Even the whole day with all of the ads, and we watched this thing like a tribute to Jimmy Johnson, which was a little weird because it was AI. Oh yeah, Jimmy Johnson, one of the commentators, yeah, you know, longtime coach for the Cowboys. So they did this AI thing where they showed him in college playing for Arkansas. It turns out Jimmy Johnson and Jerry Jones, a lot of J's, were college roommates at the University of Arkansas.
Oh, that makes sense. I can see that.
So they had recreated him as a young college football player, and then they had AI versions of him walking through his career, and then he, the real Jimmy Johnson, got to meet his AI self.
No.
It was creepy, but it was also like kind of sweet, and he was tearful at the end.
I don't know about meeting your own AI. That sounds like the plot from that Demi Moore movie that she just got nominated for. It's a horror movie. Yeah,
I don't understand that either.
I don't know about meeting your AI self. That kind of creeps me out. That's weird.
Yeah, it was creepy. But at the end, when it was emotional and they were all like hugging him and thanking him, like that was sweet.
Hugging him and thanking him for what? Like, what did he do? Did he like save a puppy?
No, but they've all been together. You know, Michael Strahan has been on that show for like 17 years. It seems like he's the new guy.
You mean the Super Bowl, like coverage?
The commentators. Yeah. The commentators.
Oh, yeah, I didn't realize.
They're all these guys, and they sit at a desk and they talk about stuff, and they keep adding more guys.
I got buddies. I talk about stuff. We don't make AI things for them. Like,
well, maybe you should start, Greg.
You're right.
You need to start that.
Exactly.
Your salary will jump, I'm sure, considerably once you do that, Greg.
Tyler, guess what? I made a very non-creepy AI tribute to you.
All right, Jane, what's coming up on that Air on Air later today?
Well, hopefully, I sent out some reconfirmation emails yesterday, and I haven't heard back from anyone yet, but we're supposed to have Matt Randolph, who is known as Mr. Global. He is an oil and gas industry expert. The man knows of what he speaks. He has been in this industry for more than 30 years. Of course, Donald Trump has promised drill, baby, drill. And the oil companies are like, yeah, maybe not so much, but sure, that sounds good. So Matt Randolph will be here. He has the facts, the knowledge, and the experience to annoy everyone, which I find a very valuable trait. And then in the second hour, Beyond the Cheese is back, where we look at industries outside of the dairy industry in Wisconsin. And she's supposed to be coming in today, Sarah Sandrin. It's called Midwest Sad, S-A-D. And all they do are sell treats. They sell cookies and bars and all kinds of wonderful sweet things.
I know, but
I think it's where you go when you need that comfort carrot cake. So we're very much looking forward to seeing Sarah, and hopefully she's going to come in and bring us lots of treats, right?
Hopefully.
Yeah.
I'll be sad if it's a carrot cake.
Come on! Carrot cake is so good.
It's just eat the frosting.
It's not even really that good for you.
Yeah. Take her medical degree away. Oh, no, thank you.
She's being so biased to all that medicine things.
Yeah, sorry. I kept it under wraps today. We've got the whole rest of the week me to, you know, share a lot of gynecology commentary.
I'm about it. I'm here for it.
Public health, public service announcement all week long.
Fabulous.
Yep.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. Nice.
That's fantastic. Why not? Absolutely.
Yeah. What a morning. You know, thank you all. Craig, thanks for joining us and co-hosting. I know this is not your jam, but you did a great job.
No, thank you. It was fun.
Greg, thanks for all of your help today. Listeners, thanks for hanging with us. Pat's going to be back on Monday, but until then, we've got fantastic shows coming up. Tomorrow, we're focusing on education. Wednesday, we're talking about small business. Thursday, it's all about Women Win Wisconsin. That's going to be fun and spicy with some special guests. So in the meantime, you can always find me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Threads, Blue Sky. I'm Dr. Kristen Lyerly. Greg and I are going to be back tomorrow morning at 6 a.m.
That's right.
Yeah.
Back in
what
the
else?
Dock. Back at 6.
Back in the dock. Just one dock tomorrow, though.
That's right. That's fine. That's fine.
We'll have a doctor of physical therapy.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's a little different.
All right.
All right. Hey, everybody, have a wonderful morning. Make some good stuff happen.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.